Oh, yeah, Sunday school kids, you're just supposed to run along and do it yourself. And God bless the sacrifice of this Sunday school teacher.
John 3:14 said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand, tell them how glad you are to see him in the house of the Lord. And when you do that, you may be seated in the wonderful, blessed, glorious, fantastic name of Jesus. Scripture, but I want to go further into this thing. So reading it one more time, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth, you could be seated. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We understand, and through reading our Bible, that there was a grievous situation where there were serpents biting the children of Israel. And God had told Moses to make a serpent upon a staff and to set it up on a hill. And that if anybody was to get bitten by the poisonous serpent, that if they were to turn and look toward the serpent, the brazen serpent on that staff, that they would be saved. Thus, maybe some of you didn't know this, maybe you did, but thus on an EMT symbol or an emergency symbol, you will see a staff with a serpent wrapped around it. And that is not something from just something that just came along, but it goes all the way back to Moses, that you can look to the paramedics to find help, to find salvation, if you will, when you're hurting. And so that has carried on even in today, that biblical idea. But the scripture said that even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And verse 16, a very familiar setting of scripture. For God so loved the world. Yes. For God so loved humanity. For God so loved his creation, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Or there is no need to die. There is no need to be lost. Can I even be more blunt than that this morning and say there is no need to go to hell? But you can have everlasting life. Verse 17 said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, there's an ideology that's put out that God is somewhere up there in heaven with a big stick or a big piece of iron ready to pounce on every evil work and every evil deed, ready to destroy everything. May I tell you today, that is a wrong ideology. That is a wrong picture today. He's not looking to condemn the world, but he's looking to save the world. For it is his will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should have everlasting life. Why would a God so much create this human, this humanity, just to destroy it? No, he's created humanity because he loves us. He wants to have a relationship. relationship with us. He wants to have a friendship and sweet communion with us. And so in verse number 18, we go on and we read, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I want to make mention right here for just a moment that they didn't just have to believe about that serpent, because they knew that serpent on a staff was over there. But the Bible said you got to believe and you got to look toward it. You got to have some action behind it. Contrary to popular religious belief, amen, so many today are being taught that is all you have to do is believe. No, my friend, there's some action required. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ came to die for your sins. Oh, yes, you do. But you've got to have some action behind it. Thus, we must repent of our sin. Thus, we must be baptized in the only name that is above every other name, in the name of Jesus Christ. There are some things we must do besides just believe. If I tell you that the church was on fire today, you could sit back and say, oh, yeah, I smell the smoke. I believe it. And don't do anything about it. You would be a fool to only believe and not hit the exit door. Not try to find some way out. You can believe and be lost. But if you believe and put action behind your belief, you can find eternal life in Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is that light. That light has come unto the world. Hallelujah. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Because when the light starts to shine on our evil deeds, our evil works, it makes us uncomfortable. When light begins to shine on our lying, on our cheating, on our filthy ways and habits, the light begins to shine and it makes us uncomfortable in what we are doing. And that is that condemnation. But it is not to condemn us, to drive us further and deeper into darkness, but to reveal and expose that sin, that we might find repentance, that we might find a place to make those things right before God.
Praise the Lord.
Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. Oh, when truth is preached, pardon me, and it exposes those evil deeds. And when one says, I need to do something about my condition, and they take that step toward the light, amen. Oh, I'm thankful for a heavenly Father that looked beyond all my faults, all my failures, all of my sin, and he saw how much I needed him. And he said, come on a little bit closer to the light.
Praise the Lord.
Yep. Amen. Amen. And my evil deeds were reproved before the Lord. And I had a preacher tell me how I needed to walk before God. Not because the preacher said so, but he told me what God thinks. He told me how God feels. He told me what God desires. And there was a desire in me to turn from my darkness, to turn from my wicked way, because I was interested in what God was interested in.
interested in. I was interested in pleasing God. Amen. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Many of us, I'm sure today, have seen roadblocks. Roadblocks are used for our safety and for our welfare. They keep us from harm and from danger. I thought of this yesterday as I was walking down a sidewalk. There was a barricade on the sidewalk, and I started to chuckle to myself, and my wife said, "What?" And I said, "Oh, nothing. I was just thinking." And when I came to that barricade, it was big. It was 6 feet wide, about 4.5 feet tall, painted white, and it was at the end of the sidewalk. And we stepped off of the sidewalk and into the road to go to our truck. And I don't know, I still am just a kid, really. And I thought, man, if I was younger, I'd just jump over that. I start thinking of all the ways that I'd climb up over that when I was a kid, and I'd jump off of it. And I'd go, instead of going this way, I'd go that way. And I'd do all kinds of things to go around what was there to say, don't go beyond this point. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. There's just something on the inside of us, that carnal nature, that natural man that says, don't go here. Or they have the police tape that says, do not cross. There's something in the side of humanity that says, why?
Right.
I want to go.
Sure.
Come on.
You're preaching.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, come on. Not me. I obey everything. You liar.
Yes.
No, there's something in our nature that if the speed limit says this, we just go ahead and push it a little bit further.
That's
if it
right,
says
amen.
That, we're always pushing the limits.
Right.
But there's something about a roadblock, and there's a purpose and a reason for a roadblock.
Right.
I remember just several months ago, well, it's been over a year ago now, that Brother Bray was here preaching for us, and he was telling us stories of flagging situations where he was a flagger, and where they had roadblocks, where motorcycles and motorists would zip out around them and hit something and be killed. One motorcycle rider, I'll never forget the story that he told us about, that he went around the barricade and took off, and he hit a manhole cover that was sticking up out of the ground. And there was a purpose for this roadblock, because there's some things that will cause you devastation, that will kill you if you go beyond this point.
Right.
Roadblocks are for a purpose.
Right.
Amen. And if we decide not to pay attention and yield to the warnings, there are some serious consequences. It would take a sure fool to run past a roadblock and die and burn in the crash of those flames. Yet people are doing it every single day. Let us look for just a few moments of some things in the Bible. First of all, I want to tell you today that there is a place called hell, and we do not hear about it very much anymore, and it probably do us good to hear more about it than what we do here. Not because we want to scare everybody. It's not that at all. But hell is a real place that I want to shun. I don't want nothing to do with it. Hey man, I love preaching about heaven, but I want to tell you that Jesus, even himself, preached more about hell than he did heaven.
Right.
And yet we have our religious world that doesn't want to talk about the negative, the bad. But in order to be a real balanced individual, you got to know the consequences of hell. But you also need to know the joys of heaven. And things that you can gain, amen, in eternal life. A Amen. Over and over it is confirmed throughout the Bible. Hell is a place of fire and extreme torment. But let me tell you today, and if you don't hear anything, I want you to hear this right now. It was originally designed exclusively for Satan and all of his fallen angels. Hell was never designed for God's humanity. Hell was never designed for God's creation. Never, never. Hell was only designed for Satan and his followers. Amen. God's intention for all of humanity was to be saved, to be with him. Am I clear on that? We have this idea also that everybody is trying to condemn everybody to hell. I'm going to tell you, that's not what I'm doing today. I'm trying to convince you, amen, to stop at a roadblock, to stop at a place that God has designed and intended for you to stop and make a right choice and make a right turn. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about the roadblock to hell. However, since man has been so insistent on living in sin and selfishness, he has now also got himself a place in this dreaded hell. And as a matter of record, the whole human race was destined for hell because of the sin of Adam. Because of the sin of Adam. You say, well, what about Eve? I'm going to tell you, to this day, I believe it's the man's fault because he didn't stand up to the wife that God gave him and said, no, honey, we're not going to eat of that. No, we're not going to do that. Everybody wants to blame Eve. I blame the man for not standing up and being a man. And that's what type of world we're living in today. We got a bunch of pansy men that won't stand up and be a man. Be a man of their house. Be a spiritual leader of their house. And let the women run it. And I'm not against women because I love them. And they have their place. And God, oh, come on, somebody. Don't get me stalled out there. Don't get me stalled out there. Y'all know me well enough that I believe in the place of women. And their place is right. And it's godly. And we need it. We need it. I was reading in my Bible the other day that Philip, I didn't even see this before, but Philip had four daughters. I thought, man, that's pretty cool. Philip had four daughters. And they all prophesied. They were all touched of God. And they all spoke the words of prophecy. Don't tell me that a woman can't be spiritually attuned enough to the things of God to have some insight in the things of God. She was a done judge over all of Israel. But why was that? Because there wasn't a man to stand up and say, no, I'm going to be a man and I'm going to judge Israel and I'm going to speak on behalf of God. And so, brethren, let me tell you today, it is our duty to stand up and lead in righteousness and in truth. Not as a tyrant, not as a tyrant, not as a tyrant, not as a tyrant, but you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church, for he gave himself for it, and his blood washed and cleansed. Come on, amen. The man's duty is to cover the blemishes of the wife. Like Jesus does for his church. He don't point them out, he covers them. Well, so y'all want to give up me. Y'all would have got on your feet and shouted at me a little bit. I want to be meddling all this now. Yeah, you want to start preaching with me a little bit more. We won't be there right now. But some of you men need to stand up and be men in your house. And lead in prayer. And lead in worship. And lead in the house of God. And lead in so many other ways. Lead when it comes to church time. Lead the church in prayer. Lead the church in worship. Don't just sit there. No, but start leading. Start doing what God called you to do. And be a man of God. Yeah. Amen. Come on. And we go further, so we can blame it on Eve if you want to. But you know what? Their eyes were not opened when Eve ate of the fruit. Nothing happened when Eve ate of the fruit, but everything changed when Adam did. Because when authority broke down the way God intended it to be, that's when everything turned into a mess.
That's right.
So come on, men, stand up, get a backbone like a saw log, hold up your chin, take it on the chin, be a man and live for God. Because I'm going to tell you, anybody can be a sinner, anybody can be judge, anybody can be a whorehead, anybody can be a fornicator and a liar, but it takes a real man to stand up and not be a liar, and not be a drunkard. God knew that his loving creation was doomed to hell as a result of sin. So he, in his creation, created a roadblock. He took the necessary steps to redeem all humanity and bring them back to him. It was not going to be an easy task, but that whoever said that God was interested in easy, as a matter of fact, every time I read my Bible, he likes difficult situations. He said, it may not look easy, but I'm going to make it easy. I'm going to be a roadblock for all of humanity not to go to hell. Then entered into that bloodline of humanity, and as a result, that fall of Adam and of Eve. Since the life of all flesh is in the blood, that meant that all human blood was now contaminated. There is quite an alarm today throughout the world over blood contamination. From AIDS to the Zika virus to all manner of other things, there are many that have received contaminated blood and have lost their lives because of it. But there is nothing compared to the contamination of blood by the disease of sin. Oh, hallelujah. Sin has killed more people in the world than any heart disease ever dreamed of, than any cancer ever dreamed of, than AIDS ever thought possible. Sin has destroyed more lives than anything. And the only way possible for God to come, or for man to come back to God, was somebody had to be born without that Adamic sinful nature, so that bloodline would not be passed on any longer. So God rolls himself in flesh and becomes a man, Christ Jesus. There wasn't a man on the earth that had the purity of the bloodline, so he robes himself in flesh.
Amen.
Oh yeah. That impossibility, the mystery of God. Oh, God have mercy. The mystery of God is so fantastic. But with God, all things are possible. What looked like an impossible situation to redeem humanity. Oh, I'm telling you, God likes impossible. I said, God, he likes impossible. You talk about your situation as if it's impossible. And he's going, goody, goody, goody. I like impossible. I work to the realm of impossibility. I'll get dogged way off track. Amen. He had a plan in mind. He had a pure plan in mind of redemption, but it was so simple. And since he created all things by his word, he would use his word to make it all happen. Maybe I better slow down. I'm getting excited.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
don't want to go too fast and miss it. God moved by his spirit and spoke into the womb of that virgin girl by the name of Mary. Part of the great mystery of God. But you got to understand, again, there had to be a bloodline of purity. And this is the only way that it could happen. Amen. Mary would conceive, bring forth a child whose blood was not contaminated by the Adamic sin of nature. It would therefore be the purpose for that child to die, to shed his blood for the covering of sins of all of humanity. The blood of this child would be of the Spirit of the Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, it would be pure. It would be holy. It would not be contaminated by the sin of the world. Isn't that exciting today? To know that that blood was pure. Even though Adam had sinned, and sin came into the world by him. Oh, he said, I got another plan. I got another plan to redeem my creation.
Yes. Right.
Oh, hallelujah.
Praise. So much for slowing down.
Yeah. Woo. This was the way Christ was born, born of a virgin. We know the story. The blood that flowed in his veins was a pure blood. Jesus Christ was born to be the sacrifice. He was born to die on Calvary's cross for the redemption of all of the human race. He would, in essence, be the second Adam to replace the first Adam who fell in sin. Case in point through the word of God, 1 Corinthians 15 and 22. Real quick, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Because of Adam, death was conceived into the world. But because of Christ Jesus, all of life is given to humanity.
Right.
When we skip down to verse 45 of the same chapter, it said, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last man, or the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Speaking of Jesus Christ, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which was natural, and afterward that which was spiritual. The first one was carnal, the first one was natural, but the second one was spiritual. Talking about Jesus Christ, the first man is of the earth and earthly, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. Oh, I was testifying about Brother Goodwin the other day and him getting a revelation of one God. Brother Rick Robbins was asking about you. Hey, that man in your church, did he ever get the revelation of one God? And I said, yes, sir, he did. And for several weeks in a row, he kept on coming to me and saying, there's one God. There's just one. There can't be three. And yet, because it's a revelation, you've got to understand. It's only in relationship. Does he speak of Father? Does he speak of Son? Does he speak of him as a counselor? Does he speak of him as the Prince of Peace? It's only in relationship to what he needs done at the particular time.
Amen.
But as we go on, and we see there in the scripture, the whole purpose, the whole mission for Christ was to die on the cross as a lamb for the salvation of the world. Christ was not born to live. I said Christ was not born to live. He was born to die. At the age of 33 and a half, Jesus began his weary steps up Golgotha's hill to the place we know as Calvary. His body was bruised. His body was beaten. It was bloody. The Roman soldiers had nailed him to a cross by driving nails into his hands and his feet. The whole conspiracy, though, if I can say it that way, was designed by God as the author and the finisher. But it was performed by humanity. He said, I got the pen in my hand and I'm playing a special role. And I'm going to write it and I'm going to finish it. Man thought that they were really smart. Man thought that they were doing humanity a favor by crucifying the Messiah, the Christ. Oh, hallelujah. But as all they were doing was fulfilling the grand design in the mystery of all creation. Is all they were doing, it was better than any other novel you'd ever get in your hand. He was pinning it. He said, I'm going to put these boys right here and I'm going to let them beat the tar out of me because I got a plan. I'm going to redeem all of humanity. I'm not going to let them be lost. And so he set those Roman soldiers up and he makes this great grand design of the roadblock to hell. I'm telling you today, Calvary's cross is the roadblock to hell. Calvary's cross is the roadblock to hell. The crown of thorns that was placed upon his head and jammed there by those soldiers, those 3-inch long thorns as they were pressed into his head. Amen. They gouged his scalp and blood began to trickle down his face. It flowed down from all manner of places all over his body, from the wounds that were stripped across his back. Do you realize today that as he was beaten on his back, his actual bones were showing because they had beat him so profusely and tore the flesh so much. There's no human being alive that could endure such a beating as that, to expose their bowels, to expose their very backbone. As he was beat, he was naked. He was covered in blood. The cross was covered in blood. The ground was covered in blood. And finally, Jesus, as he hung there for 6 hours, some scholars say that he was hung there for 6 hours, 1 hour for every 1,000 years of humanity that had gone by. I don't know. That's an idea. It's a theological question or idea, but it does make you go, huh? Amen. For 6 hours he hung there on the tree. Amen. For all of humanity of the past. But that day is the pinnacle point for our salvation today, over 2,000 years later. Oh, hallelujah. I am thankful for Calvary's cross, because at that point, and the shedding of blood reached all the way back to Adam, to the sin of Adam and of Eve. And it's still reaching today into the future. It'll be here tomorrow, Lord willing, and he doesn't rapture or catch away the church.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I don't know how much more to go. I hope somebody helps me.
My God.
Helps me finish right here.
Come on.
There he is. He's hanging on the tree. Blood everywhere. Roman soldiers take a spear because there was prophecy said that not a bone would be broken in his body. And so that Roman soldier comes up with the last after they break the 2 thieves' legs. Because, you know why they broke the legs? Because the crucifixion was a death of suffocation.
Right.
Yeah. And so they would push up. They would push up in order to get a breath.
Right.
They'd push up to get a breath. So they would break their legs so they couldn't push up any longer.
Right.
As Jesus prophesied, ain't a bone going to be broken in his body.
Right.
He had already passed. And so
I don't know, but the author, in suspense of mystery.
And I think it was because he wrote it earlier in the book,
and he said, they're going to pierce my side.
Yes. And as that Roman soldier, he had no idea, but he was fulfilling prophecy as he took that spear and ran it up at his side. I don't know how it happened, but if you just let me use my imagination, after all the blood that was trailed all the way down through the street of Golgotha's hill that had been dripping over him, you would think there wouldn't be an ounce of blood left. But as that Roman soldier pierced his side, the Bible said, out came forth blood and water. I got a feeling that God was trying to say, hey, I want you to know that I got enough blood to cover everything. Because when you fall on my blood, have been drained out from the beating, from the hanging, I want you to know I still got something left for all of humanity. And it came gushing out of inside. I don't know how it was, but I kind of got a feeling that as he ran up inside, it came pouring out. And that soldier was like, whoa, whoa. And it spilled out all over the ground because he wanted all humanity to know, I got enough blood.
Necessary for this blood from God, so pure, the blood of life. Not defiled blood, not contaminated blood, not sinful blood, but pure blood of life came pouring out of him for all humanity.
Yes, sir.
Purpose of this event was to keep humanity out of hell. What a sacrifice. What a tremendous cost. Calvary is your roadblock from hell.
Yes.
When humanity accepts, when humanity understands, when humanity embraces what Jesus did on Calvary and repents of their sins, they can escape the damnation of hell. When you're born again of the water and of the Spirit, you become a different person.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. It's so simple because the high price has already been paid. It was paid in blood. Now the whole world can go free.
Amen.
Many. Yet we have many fools today that reject the cross, that reject the sacrifice, that reject the blood.
Yes.
They disregard the roadblock. They climb over the cross. They go around it this way and that, going around and crashing. Some of them crashing right through it. Disregarding the warning signs. Disregarding their own safety. Disregarding the flagger. Me, preacher, flaggers, hey, maybe some of you experienced this, maybe not, going through a construction zone, maybe going a little bit too fast, and the flagger kind of steps out there with a sign that says slow, and does this number,
right?
Yeah.
And I've seen people just, vroom,
totally disregarding. And that's what we're talking about in the scripture today. That's what we're talking about in the Word of God today. Yeah. Their life is skidding out of control into eternity without God. Mm. Someday, they'll wake up in hell, wondering, how did I get here? But remembering the roadblock that was set. Possibly even remembering the flagger that was waving, that was showing the sign, slow, danger ahead. Whoa! Going down the freeway in California yesterday or day before yesterday, they had police officers out there with their red and blue lights up flashing and cones everywhere and lights flashing and everything. What a big scene! Because there was danger ahead. They didn't want you to take that exit. And if that you would have taken that exit, there was a major drop, almost 4.5-5 feet deep. If you would have taken that exit, you would have been in some major problems, especially going 65, 70 miles an hour. They were doing everything that they could. And I began to think about that. Of some, because they're impaired by drugs, because they're impaired by alcohol, because they're impaired with something, could totally ignore and miss the warning signs and plummet. Crash through the barriers. Will you be that one that crashes through the cross today? That crashes through the barrier that's keeping you from hell today? Will you be that one that goes around it or looks for another way? Looks for something easier? Looks for something different? Looks for something else besides the only way, the cross? I'm preaching to some people here today. There's some of you that even though you've been raised in church, you've been around in church, you're not listening to the warning signs. Calvary has got a roadblock in front of you trying to keep you from plummeting into hell today. As the fire is rolling over them, and as the Bible said, the worms of hell are eating their very flesh. Some are screaming, some are crying, some are moaning. The Bible said they're weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And some will even be praying. What? What? You mean people are going to pray in hell? Absolutely, they're going to pray in hell. For even the rich man is giving us that example as he prayed in hell. And he said, send that nasty, dirty, filthy leper with his dirty, nasty, leprous finger just to touch a bit of water and touch the tip of my tongue, for I'm tormented.
Right.
Yep. He was praying, and he prayed to no avail, with no answer. But you can pray today and get an answer. You